As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. We got Andrew Schlick producing. Coming up on the show, heat culture. Why didn't we believe in the Nuggets? Where do the Celtics go from here? Bob Myers and the Dubs. And finals prediction. Subscribe to the new YouTube channel by searching The Athletic NBA Show. Let me just tell you this. You don't want to be last at this party, all right? That is going up right now, and you want to make sure you are here for the whole ride. Otherwise, how are you going to see Jay King, like, podcast in front of a Peloton he never uses? Also, subscribe to The Bounce, a free NBA newsletter from The Athletic. Sign up at theathletic.com/thebounce. Hey, man, I got a rowing machine out in my room I don't use. Today is June 1st, National Game Show Day. Jay, what is your favorite game show?
I don't really mess with game shows.
What?
Like that.
What?
What does that even mean?
I
Shut
don't.
Up. Will, what's your favorite game show?
Come
I'm
on. Not. The GOAT of all game shows, Family Feud.
Oh,
nobody
that's
beats
hard
it.
To beat, man.
The
that's
actual
hard to
good
beat.
When the show is good, it's great. And when the show is bad, it's also great. Just look up bad Family Feud answers on YouTube.
Oh my god.
You'll laugh for hours.
Look, it was always great, but Steve Harvey has taken it to another level.
Oh, come on.
He is so good at that.
Does Nickelodeon Guts count?
Yeah, that counts.
Hey, I'm cool with that one.
Yeah.
What about Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yes, that counts too.
Fire.
Those are my two all-time favorites.
Shout out to Team Barracuda.
There was that weird one too. Yeah, Team Barracuda for sure. There was that weird one too where they would like put you in, like you would play video games and then they would put you in a video game for like certain parts of the game
I
show. I can't remember. Maybe it was like Nick
Wasn't
Arcade
that a
or something.
Movie
like that.
Called The Wizard?
That's a different. Well, they didn't put him in there. He just played Super Mario Brothers and they introduced
That was
the
a legendary
Grove.
Movie. I love that movie.
That's a great movie, by the way. Might be on Future Cinephobe if you know what that's all about. Mine's Supermarket Sweep. Nothing better than Supermarket Sweep. Oh. The original. No offense to Leslie Jones, but the original, that's where it's at.
I've never seen that.
Oh, man. You would grab like a giant inflatable ketchup bottle and take it back and see if it was worth $50 or $300. Like, oh my god, yeah, you got to get those hams in the cart, you got to get garden hoses in the cart. It takes a little time, but that coffee bean grinding is worth it. Yes. You got to do that. Oh man,
so,
I could
hold on. So this is just like people at the supermarket just grabbing groceries. That's
no,
the game.
No, it's not. I mean,
you're not strolling up the aisles.
Yeah, no, they're not strolling. You're timed. Like you have a certain amount of time to get through. There's trivia. There's like word games and stuff. Like there's little races you got to do. Like it's there's over a hundred, I think, full episodes on YouTube. So you go find it, and it's oh my god, and it's incredibly dated. Like just it feels like 500 years ago at this point. Also, guys, grocery games, but that's more a cooking competition than anything. But that's a great one. All right, what are we doing here? Oh yeah, in this corner, let's see our two contestants. In this corner, he covers the Celtics. He used to be president of the Dylan Brooks fan club, and he awaits the arrival of Cooper.
Not
Flagg.
Anymore.
It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, how has heat culture impacted you?
Heat culture sent me on vacation, baby. Heat culture left me with some free time. I was back at the pickup game this afternoon.
Oh, look at that.
I'm so jealous. Oh, yeah. I'm so jealous.
Heat culture is a beautiful thing, let me tell you.
In this corner, he now covers the Heat permanently because they're never going to stop playing meaningful games. It's Will Guillory. Will, how has Heat culture impacted you?
I went from a weekend in Miami to now I'm at the NBA Finals. That's how Heat culture has changed. I think I'm going to just continue to cover the Heat for the rest of my life. I'm never leaving South Beach. I'm just catch me on Biscayne if you want to know where I'm at.
What a tough life going from New Orleans to Miami. How do you make the adjustment?
Did you have any plans for later in the playoffs? Did you have to cancel stuff?
Listen, I've told my editor on multiple times I've had the mouse hovering over the PTO, just waiting to click. Jimmy Butler was like, nah, that's what you thought. You thought you was going on vacation. That ain't happening.
Not today, Will.
Caleb Martin said, fuck your vacation. You're never going home.
Now, I'm just waking up at 3 a.m. to work out with Jimmy Butler now. That's my life.
There it is. Got to do it. All right. That checks off the banter portion. Let's get it. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. Heat culture reigns supreme. Oh, who could have guessed this? But the Miami Heat advanced to the NBA Finals after starting as the 7th seed in the East, and they fell to the 8th seed in the East and barely got through the play-in tournament, losing the first play-in game to the Hawks. They narrowly beat the Bulls with a just rampant fourth quarter to get into the playoffs, down a point to the Bulls with 2:30 left in the game, end up blowing them out in the next 2 minutes. No one had the Heat as even a finals contender. Well, not no one. Like somebody had it. Somebody really smart and...
I think you did that ironically,
great
though.
No. 2021 was ironically. Everything else has been crazed belief by me. They were 21st in net rating in the regular season. They lost Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo in round one, and it somehow gave them more strength. So, Jay, what were we missing? No. Jay, what were you missing with this Heat team in the regular season? Is anything about this Heat run repeatable for other teams, or is this just one of the wildest, most unpredictable runs we'll ever see?
Going through awful stuff just makes them stronger. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be finishing a regular season close to 500. It can be losing Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo to injury. It can be Derek White having a putback layup to potentially ruin them. It doesn't matter. Every time they go through nonsense, they just come back stronger.
And Jimmy Butler, nonsense is self-inflicted, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. Sometimes other people do it. It's crazy. Duncan Robinson and Caleb Martin, their emergence has been just absolutely enormous for the Heat. Duncan Robinson's reemergence, I should say. Caleb Martin just – what were the Hornets doing? They let go of the wrong Martin brother.
He wasn't this good, though, right? Like,
I mean, what are the Hornets ever doing?
It wasn't that long ago,
though. That's a good point by Will, yeah. No, it was 2 years ago. Like, it wasn't that long ago. And then all of a sudden, he gets in the Heat culture. They're just like, all right, what if you were almost the Conference Finals MVP?
He should have been Conference Finals MVP.
No.
But also, the core of this Miami group with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Eric Spoelstra is so competitive, so stubborn, so resilient that they just keep coming back. It doesn't matter if the supporting cast around them changes. It doesn't matter if they lose PJ Tucker and Kyle Lowry gets older. It doesn't matter. They find a way to be disciplined, to stay committed to what they're supposed to do, and they're just hell to beat.
Will, you jumped on the coverage of this team, which maybe you thought it was going to be a quick little bit of coverage for covering them in the postseason, and it's obviously turned into an NBA Finals appearance. At what point did you start thinking, oh, shit, there's something here?
Yeah, I think it had to be when Jimmy dropped 56 on the Bucks, right? That's when I was like, okay, this guy's on a mission, this team's on a mission, and they're not scared at all. And I think that's the point that I really stuck to, what Jay just said, is the trio of Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, Bam, those guys have been through so much. Those guys have been through the playoff wars. They've been through adversity. They know how to turn it up when the lights turn go bright. And that's why I want to dead. I want to dead this right now before it starts next year with the Atlanta Hawks and the Timberwolves and the Bulls saying, hey, the Heat made it out of the play-in.
No, you don't have
the playoff experience. You don't have the skins on the wall that these guys have. That's why we should have never doubted them going into the playoffs, even after a rough season, even after the injuries. When you put these dudes in a playoff environment, when it comes time to adjust, when it comes time to say, hey, mano a mano, we're going to figure this thing out. The Heat have what it takes over and over again, and they've proven it. And again, everybody's going to doubt them going into the finals. I'm probably one of the people that's going to doubt them going into the finals, but we never should, because these guys prove over and over again that they have what it takes in playoff games to just figure it out, no matter what, who's out there, no matter how bad they're playing, no matter if you need Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, it doesn't matter. They just know how to figure it out.
We're gonna do predictions at the end of this episode, but I can tell Jay's already shook. Jay's already shook. He doesn't know what to do because he's been wrong about Heat culture every step.
I'm so stupid.
But the time you jump on is gonna be the time the Nuggets smack them around and it goes away, and then you'll be like, why did I believe in this?
That's what happened against the Lakers in the finals a few years ago.
Yeah.
I finally really believe. And I believe in everything they do. It's just I always predict against them because everyone else shows it consistently, and then the Heat just like show up out of nowhere. they're awesome,
man. I still go back to that moment in the first round where they're down six with like maybe 2.5 minutes left in the game. I can't remember. And Jimmy's just talking shit to Drew Holiday, saying, I own you. And I'll be honest, I didn't really think they were going to pick like beat the Bucks in that series, especially when Giannis came back for four. I was like, all right, like this will get correct. Because I thought the Bucks were the best team in basketball. And then in that moment where he's yelling, I own you, to Drew Holiday. Like, it's not like he was yelling at like Wes Matthews or Grayson Allen. Like, Drew Holiday, everyone respects Drew Holiday. He's yelling, I own you. That's what I was like. Oh shit, this team's going to the finals. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I was like, this team's going to the final. Like, this is legit. And here they are. And hey, look, we spent the first segment talking about the Miami Heat. That can be fuel for Michael Malone. Even though we're going to talk about the Nuggets now, Michael Malone will now take that as a slight. Hey, take two! The dominant Nuggets! The Denver Nuggets have had their feet kicked up for a while after sweeping those Lakers in round one. They've been dominant. They've been the best team in the playoffs. They looked like it. While there aren't many Nuggets doubters out there now, there were many to begin the playoffs and even to start the conference finals. The Nuggets were the first seed in the West. They're the two-time MVP, and yet didn't have too many people thinking that they could make the NBA Finals. Will, is it simply just seeing is believing with the Nuggets, or was there something else at play?
I think it was, you know, probably the way they ended the season. It seemed like they were slowing down a little bit. They weren't really caring about defense. We saw them where the West was kind of up for grabs, and they didn't really dominate it the way you would expect a team. The way they've looked during the playoffs, they didn't really look like that in dominating the West during the regular season. And of course, it's that they just haven't really made it this. Obviously, they haven't made it this far before, but they haven't really, you know, run through the West the way they did. Yeah, of course. I just think it's, of course, when you see a superstar like Jokic is always, hey, he's dominant in the regular season. We see him put up big numbers in the playoffs, but you got to prove it with the wins. And I think that's what it's going to come down to with him, for him to really reach that next level. He's got to, you know, raise that trophy, and he's got to prove he can do it on the biggest stage, especially going in as heavy a favorite as he will be going into this finals. So yeah, I think they've obviously been dominant throughout the Western Conference playoffs. Jamal Murray's playing the best basketball of his career. Jokic is playing the best basketball of his career. Mm-hmm. Bruce Brown is probably playing the best basketball of his career. Yeah, they've got everybody locked in right now. I think they've got probably the matchup they wanted, which is, you know, I think Eric Spoelstra is rubbing his hands when he hears me say that. But I think they've got a lot of advantages going into this matchup, and they have a big opportunity to kind of prove everybody that they are who they thought they were, right? They are who all of the stat nerds out there were telling us they were for the past couple of years. Yeah. And, you know, we doubted them, and, you know, we were wrong the same way we were wrong about the Heat. But eventually, you got to prove everybody wrong by raising that trophy. That's how you really prove everybody wrong.
And I don't think – I don't think we were wrong. I think it's fine to, like, we did this with the Bucks in 2021, Jay, where it was like, okay, we know your regular season good. It's time for you to, like, come through in the playoffs. And I think it's fine to, like, not force a team, but, like, ask a team to, like, all right, show, like, you think you're this good, show us, do it in the playoffs. And they have. Like, I think that's fine. Like, I don't know why that's doubting.
And to be fair, part of it was the injuries, right? They didn't have Jamal Murray. For sure, they didn't have Porter Jr., so that hurt him as well.
Yeah, it was totally fair to doubt this group and whether they could emerge from the Western Conference. We've seen the Warriors do it time after time. And so even when they had a suspect regular season, people believed in them. We've seen LeBron do it time after time. So even when the Lakers had a suspect regular season, people believed in them. We've never seen Nikola Jokic and this Nuggets team perform to this level throughout the playoffs. And obviously, they were great in the bubble. They came back from 3-1 twice, right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But we had never seen them have the success deep in the playoffs. It's easy to look at Nikola Jokic and think, can he hold up defensively against the very best offensive attacks? And we probably haven't really seen him against the very best offensive attacks yet.
We saw him against Campaign and Landry Shamet. We saw him against a little bit of D'Angelo Russell. And the fucking Timberwolves. So, like, no, we haven't seen that.
So we still haven't seen
it. But Heat team's not the best offensive attack either. Like, it's like, I don't know.
Also very true.
But I mean, they got Caleb and Michael Jordan.
They win, they win.
They deserve the respect. They have just a beautiful offense. They're all on the same page. They're able to overcome Jokic's defensive limitations with a system that everyone's committed to, and the length of Aaron Gordon and Bruce Brown, and the athleticism of all those guys.
KCP.
Michael Porter Jr. is huge. He's huge. He's a legitimate 6'10" and has gotten so much better on defense. His progress there from even just a couple years ago is kind of crazy. And they just have the attitude.
Denver,
right
we could
now.
Probably cool it though by saying he's a good defender now. He's just no longer like the worst defender. But we could probably cool it on like, oh, he's a good defender now. Like, I don't know.
He's good in their scheme, right? He's able to. They like to bring Jokic up high and have guys help from the wings.
He works.
And
in
he's
this
good
scheme,
at.
I'd say.
Yeah, he's good, at being in the right spots at the right times.
Yeah,
I think they're doing a really good job, and I think that's one of the big factors. I wrote this in my story today on The Athletic. About just them having Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Jokic being so big in the front court. And it feels like Miami's entire front court is just Bam Adebayo, right? It's Bam, and then they got a whole bunch of guards running around. And I think that's going to be the big test for Miami, where they were able to out-tough a lot of the teams they've played so far. I don't know if you can do that against the Nuggets just because they're so big. And then they're bringing Jeff Green off the bench, another big guy. So I think that's going to be a big test for them. But we know the toughest dude in the whole playoffs is Jimmy Butler, right? So if you want to get into a tough matchup, then Jimmy's ready for all of that smoke.
Yeah.
So the one problem
though is Bam on offense is not that tough. Bam has been shrinking on offense, and you can't do that. Like, look, I think Jokic has become a good defender. Like, he still has limitations, but it's almost in that like sort of Brook Lopez mode of like, you know that you can take advantage of this guy, but he plays it so smart that it rarely happens enough to.
I'm
like,
not putting him in the Brook
Lopez
category.
I'm not saying I'm just saying in the sense of like
I know what you mean.
a dinosaur big man. Like, he's not as good as Brook Lopez, but it's become like very workable to where I wouldn't say, Jokic is just like no longer the worst defender. It's like, I actually think he's a plus defender. Like, he's good. Like, he knows how to do what he does at this point. But Bam needs to get his ass shooting the ball in the mid-range and going to the basket and trying to dunk on people, because if he doesn't bring it on that end of the floor and make Jokic work, that shit on the other end is going to make look even worse.
And here's the thing. They don't have any other options but Bam. I mean, the Lakers, even the Lakers last year is like, okay, we could put Rui and LeBron on him and have AD hanging out at the rim. The Heat can't even do that. I mean, what are you going to put Caleb Martin on him? You're going to put, who are you going to put Haywood Highsmith on him and have Bam waiting at the rim? It's got to be Bam Adebayo. And that's why I think it's exactly to your point. Of course, Jokic is going to get him. Bam is not going to stop Jokic, but Bam has to make Jokic work on the other end. He's got to score. He's got to make Jokic actually defend and not just hang out under the rim while Bam is missing jumpers on the perimeter. Bam's got to be aggressive. He's got to go get his shots, because if it's just Jokic dominating him on one end and just chilling on the other end, it's going to get ugly.
It's going to be ugly anyway, but it's going to get even uglier.
Another piece is, can Miami zone function against Jokic? And I don't think it can. Like, that's such a tough dude to zone because he's so quick at processing everything, where everybody is. And he's also just huge compared to the guys on the Heat. Like, he's just enormous compared to them. And if they play Kevin Love, that's just probably a problem.
So I don't think it's
going to... Spoelstra will come up with something, though. Spoelstra.
No, look at you. Look at you, Shook. this is one thing, then we'll move on. The one thing that I'm annoyed with is immediately Denver people were just like, well, you know, they're number one against the zone this year in the playoffs and the regular season. It's like, it's also like 2% of their possessions on offense, which also, like, they're so good against the zone, why would you play zone against them? You can't.
Exactly.
But they didn't go against Miami's zone for those 200 and something possessions all season long. I do think Miami can disrupt with it, right? They're not going to go to it and have it solve things, but if you can disrupt that for a couple of minutes randomly throughout the series here and there in games, maybe it gives you enough for your offense to catch up. Maybe. But then again, like, I would not want to play zone against Jokic. He's going to pick that thing apart most of the time. But you're just looking to, like, show them new looks and disrupt.
Especially with small dudes everywhere.
Like, very small dudes everywhere. Yes.
Those Aaron Gordon Duckins. Yeah. Those Michael Porter Duckins.
Yeah, and not only can he pick you apart with his passing, but he also never misses from anywhere, which is another problem about playing zone on Jokic.
We talked about it
before. If he gets the free throw line, it's cash. If he gets inside and throws up some nonsense hook shot, it's cash.
Tell Bam, we're not helping. You're going to eat these 50. And you better not get in foul trouble, because we need you on the other end. And that's
like, just Bam, whatever you do, don't let that man shoot a 1-foot three-pointer. That thing is going in every single time.
Yeah.
That is a guarantee.
Make him shoot a normal shot, because the ones that are irregular, they just go in every time. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. Changes coming in Boston?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And we're back. Take three. What is next in Beantown? The Boston Celtics were sent packing on Monday night as they vomited, sprained, and bricked their way to a 103-84 loss in Boston to the Miami Heat. Celtics were a heavy favorite to win the series by almost everybody except one person. And then, you know, they found themselves down 0-3, and now they brought it back to Game 7, and Game 7 was a toughie for them. The Celtics are likely to lock themselves into this core by offering up Jaylen Brown a massive deal, supermax deal. What is it, like $290 million or whatever that's going to be? Don't really have a lot of better options, so I don't know if you could blame them. But Jay, what changes can they make and what should they make to push this team closer to a title?
The thing that jumps out to me, first of all, Joe Mazzulla will get better. Assuming they keep him and he has a lot of money still left on his contract. I thought he did a really good job of keeping the locker room together, keeping the staff together after the Ime Udoka scandal at the beginning of the season. It was a really tough job. They didn't always make it look tough because they kind of just got through everything, had a really good regular season, but there were a lot of issues that Mazzulla had to iron out. So I think he'll come back and learn a lot from this and be a lot better. He was just 34 years old going through a lot of stuff for the first time. He wasn't even in the front row of the bench as an assistant last season. So I think that's the first part. And then from there, you need your best players to get better. And to me, that's the lesson of the last two playoff exits. Is the finals last year, Jason Tatum had a miserable time against a disciplined, connected Warriors defense, and Stephen Curry was awesome. And the gap between them was so big that the Celtics could not overcome it. This season, I thought Tatum had a really good series until the ankle injury in game seven. Mm-hmm. But Jaylen Brown, his decision-making and his eagerness to force things when the Miami Heat take a lot of that stuff away, and you really need to, against them, be patient, draw the help, and move the basketball, and he didn't do that enough. And so, to me, no matter what happens around those guys, a lot comes down to, at the highest level of basketball, against the smartest teams and the smartest coaches, can those two guys figure it out? And with the CBA, it's going to get tougher to keep the supporting cast as powerful as it was this season. And especially once Jalen's extension kicks in, when Tatum's extension kicks in after that, it's going to be like just a lot of money committed to those two guys. And they're just going to need to be better. Like, Al Horford's going to be 37 next season. Robert Williams, always injury prone. Grant Williams, he's a free agent this summer. Who knows if he's going to stay or go. And so there's a lot of uncertainty around those guys, and enough that I think a lot of the burden just comes on them taking their game to the next level. And I don't think it's fair to say they need to split them up or anything like that. Those guys have won a lot of basketball games.
That talk is just dumb, Jay. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
They've done it as co-stars. They've done it as the two leading guys. They've done it since they stepped into the league. They've just been a part of great teams. And I think that's largely because of how good they are. And they fit well together, but they just, against like the very best of the best, their offense has come up short the last couple of years, and they just need to continue working that out and take it to the next level.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about them needing a real point guard, them needing to add a veteran coach to help Joe Mazzulla. And to a certain extent, I agree with both of those points. But I mostly agree with what Jay said, is that it's going to be on Tatum and Brown. Those guys got to get better. They got to be more prepared for playoff basketball. And, you know, with Tatum, I think it reminds, not that I'm calling him this level of player, but it reminds me a lot of LeBron when he was his first couple of years in Miami, where he kind of got exposed by Dallas. And, you know, he was kind of wanting to play against like a point guard while they were putting J.J. Barea on him. And when I was watching Tatum during that Miami series, a lot of time I was like, Tatum, just catch the ball in the mid post and just be bigger than everybody else. It seems like a lot of the times he gets those turnovers where he's dribbling at the top of the key through the legs. He's trying to look like a point guard. He's trying to play like LeBron or Luka. And I just want him to be big on the post, get easier shots, stop relying so much on his three-pointers. And for Jaylen Brown, you got to be able to dribble with your left hand, my man. I mean, there's a clip going around on Twitter right now where literally every time the ball is in his left hand, the Miami Heat defenders are just diving at it. Like, they're just like, no respect for his left hand whatsoever. You got to be able to dribble the ball and not have teams just disrespect you the way the Heat were at the end of that series. Especially, I think it really got exposed in game seven where Tatum was hurt and they needed Jaylen Brown to create more for everybody else than he's used to. And he just couldn't. He just kept turning the ball over. 8 turnovers in the biggest game of the season. He's got to be able to just tighten up his handle and just be more reliant as a creator and not just a, when I have the ball, I'm shooting it every single time type of guy. But I think the big one, I think in particular, I think it's just Tatum just being able to get easier shots in postseason games where the game slows down, where you start to play the best defenses. I feel like he's so perimeter oriented, and he shouldn't be, because when you see this guy in person, he is big as hell, man. Like Tatum 6'10", is, man. He's huge. Yeah. And there's no reason for him to be spending so much time behind the three-point line in these big playoff games. Look at where Jimmy Butler's operating in these playoff games. He's not jacking up 8 threes in these big games. He's getting the ball on the block. He's saying, you're smaller than me. I'm getting to the free throw line or I'm getting to the rim. And Jason Tatum should be doing the same thing. So I think for Boston, you just need your best players to be better, especially for the reasons Jay said, where they're going to be eating up more cap space probably than any other duo in the league soon. Mm-hmm. So it's on them even more now to get better, to be able to carry them in this big, these big playoff games. And it's about adjusting, and it's about learning from the Miami Heat in that you got to know how to play in playoff games. Doing what the Celtics do, shooting 40, 45 three-pointers every game, that's a good way to win 50, 55 games in a regular season, but that's not the path to winning in these big playoff games. It's about getting easy shots, getting to the free throw line, taking advantage of mismatches, and that's not what Boston has done a good enough job of these past two seasons.
You're 6'10". Go be 6'10".
Like that's 100%. Like Michael Porter Jr.
Just like that. All right, coming up after the break, end of an era in the Bay.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Take four. Bye, Bobby. Bob Myers out as GM and president of basketball operations for the Golden State Warriors. As he announced on Tuesday, he is stepping down from the role. If you are an Athletic subscriber, no shock to you at all. We've been on this one for months. With that said, also, well, real quick, that press conference with Joe Lacob and him was weird. Weird.
It was amazing.
Work him every day the rest of the month, and he's like his fifth child to him and everything. Like, it was like... I'm like, I'm just a weird dude, man. I go watch it. You just gotta go watch it.
Or
go,
light years like, ahead.
Yeah, go check out Sam Esfandiari's Twitter feed because he was all over that one. With that said, how does this impact the Warriors moving forward? It is believed that Mike Dunleavy Jr. will be tabbed as the replacement. Will the core stay together? Can they trade Jordan Poole? Will ownership steer the ship in the right direction? Will, is this the beginning of the end of this iteration of the Warriors?
I mean, I think with or without Bob Myers, we were nearing the end. I mean, these guys aren't getting any younger, right? They're all in their 30s, mid-30s. So we only expected them to have maybe two or three more years with this core together playing at a championship level. But I do think with the Warriors, what makes them so interesting is that they have a lot of big personalities in that building. And Bob Myers seemed like a guy who was able to keep everyone together, you know, through some of the Draymond blowups, through the Jordan Poole punch situation, through Klay Thompson disappearing during off seasons, Steve Kerr can be a hothead at times. I think you needed Bob Myers there to kind of be the uniter, to be the guy who say, hey, I've been here since the beginning. I understand you guys. I understand how to get everybody on the same page. And I think it's going to be a lot on Mike Dunleavy, especially, I mean, let's just say it with Draymond Green. Draymond is a guy who can be really difficult to handle at times.
And he also might not be there.
And he might not be there. And he might be upset about his contract situation next year. So I think it's a very delicate situation you're dealing with there in Golden State. And we throw in Poole and Kuminga, two young guys who are uncertain about their future, who might want to be out, who might want to go somewhere where they can, you know, show off their talents a little bit more. So I think it's a very delicate situation to deal with in Golden State. Bob Myers has done a masterful job of that over the past couple of years. And I think it's going to be a lot of stress on Mike Dunleavy. Basketball, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, Steve Kerr, they can figure that out. They'll be fine on the court. I think with the Warriors, there's that constant off the court. We know there's going to be some drama with that team. Somebody's going to blow up. Somebody's going to have an interview that goes viral, and they've got to find a way to be able to deal with that behind the scenes where it's not just Draymond popping off on his podcast the way we know he's used to. Somebody's got to be able to handle stuff behind closed doors. And it's going to be a lot on Mike Dunleavy to handle that now.
Jay, what do you think is the next move for the Warriors just in terms of, do they shake it up? Do they trust the young guys? Do they keep it all together? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
They've got to make a decision on Jordan Poole and Draymond Green. That's next. Like, do you keep
Thompson
Draymond
too, right? Like,
I guess
Clay was not that good, and he's getting 40 next year.
He's good during the regular season, I would say.
As long as Steph is playing at an MVP type level, and he did this past season, whenever he was on the court, you need to try to make it work. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr has come out and said, this doesn't work without Draymond. We're not a contender without Draymond. So obviously you know what he wants to do. They need to figure out the Jordan Poole situation. Can he get back to the level he was last season versus the mess he was really all season long? And it didn't really show up that much until the playoffs, but he was not the same player. He did not play with the same intent. He did not play with the same team mindset this season. Yeah. And it seemed like a frustrated, splintered team about his play from the punch on. So then they need to get more size on the perimeter. Like, there's a lot. There's a lot this team needs. There's a lot. Yeah, this
they go
team
about
needs to
four
figure
deep,
out.
Man. Maybe it's more if you like trust Kuminga and Moody and everything. But like, they go about four deep right now.
Yeah, there's just so many guys to make a decision on, right? Yeah. Like, do you clear the path for Kuminga to play because he wasn't ready this year? Kerr decided he was so unready that he was playing just 6'2" guys at power forward during the playoffs when they desperately needed size and athleticism. So is Kuminga the guy? Is Poole the guy? Dunleavy is going to step into a team that he could take in a lot of different directions. And his vision for it all is going to be really, really important because I don't think there are obvious answers to a lot of those questions.
I do love Joe Lacob saying, we don't care what the rules are. We're going to do what we need to do. I'm like, well, that's not maybe something I put on wax. Like, that's
for sure. But I think, you know, for me, as an outsider looking at it, I would be shocked if Jordan Poole's on that team next year. Just because I think with the new reality of the CBA, I mean, Jay knows this with that Grant Williams situation with Boston. I will throw DeAndre Ayton in this conversation as well. I think it's going to be really hard to exist in the world with this new CBA where your fourth, fifth best player is making $30 million. You got to be able to break that up into two, three guys instead of paying somebody off of your bench $30 million. And I think that's going to be tough for them. And right now, I think it's probably the worst time to trade Jordan Poole. His trade value probably has never been lower. But I think just the reality moving forward, like y'all said, they just don't have the depth. Their players are older. We know Steph isn't going to play 82 games. We know Draymond, Clay, they're going to take time off. So you're going to need guys off the bench to come in and contribute. And it's just going to be a tough reality for them moving forward. I think for a lot of these contending teams where you want to pay your role players who help you get there, but it's tough to exist in the world, again, when your fourth, fifth best player is making $30 million.
Hey, Internet, stop trying to put Jordan Poole on the Orlando Magic, okay? My beloved Orlando Magic that I just want to watch time in and time again. Like, I don't want that. I'm good. Stop doing that.
Orlando's a great spot for a pool party. Why not?
Steve Kerr said something interesting.
If Jay had said that, season. We would have ended the pod. All right. Just even with one more set, we would have ended that shit right now. Just so you know.
Steve Kerr said something interesting after the season. And I forget where I saw it, but he said that Clay needs to basically adjust his game because he's not the same guy anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem because Clay didn't do that this year. Too many times he forced his shot and looked to be the old Clay. It's a problem because they need Clay to be Clay. Even in the finals last season when he was just coming back from the injury, he was able to dig deep and give them some great basketball, two-way basketball in that series. I don't know how much it impacts them and whether they can still win rings if Clay isn't Clay anymore.
Well, next year it hurts because he's getting like 40 plus, right? After that, if he's taking that Andrew Wiggins discount, then maybe it's not so bad. Right. But that's asking a lot.
And that's a tough thing to say as an organization. We need you to take a huge discount after you've won 4 rings.
Not good anymore.
Four
yeah.
rings. Yeah. Top that's four, a tough conversation to have.
Mike Dunleavy. Mike Dunleavy stepping into some stuff.
That's what the money's for. For you to say
Bob
those
Myers,
conversations.
Yeah, buddy.
Bob Myers, I'll tell you what. He left at the right time because he's not going to be the guy to make a decision on when to end this run. He's not going to be the guy to tell Clay, sorry, man, we got to cut your contract way down. He's not going to be the guy to be stuck with that entire mess. He just gets to leave, skate away with his four championships.
He gets to answer a phone and say, I'm sorry, what was that, Mr. Bomber? You want to pay me how much?
You got to go podcast. He gets to go podcast twice a week or once
a
week.
I saw a tweet. I can't remember who it was, but I saw a tweet saying, we should have known it was over when he started a podcast midseason. And that's a great sign that things are probably ending for your elite executive.
Well, the good news is, if you want to go to a non-stressful situation, the Clippers are it, right? There's no stress going on in L.A. It's easy going out there. Everybody just taking every game off, so you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, you got nothing to worry about at all. All right, take five, finals prediction time, boys.
Here we go.
Will, who do you have winning the NBA Finals? How many games? Who's your Finals MVP? What's the matchup that determines the outcome?
I have the Nuggets winning in six games. I just want to see the Jokic Bros party in South Beach, so that's my selfish reason behind that. This may shock you. I have Nikola Jokic winning MVP.
What?
And like I mentioned before, I think the big matchup is going to be Jokic. I think the big matchup is going to be Jokic versus Bam. I think the Heat don't have any other options other than Bam to throw at him. Bam has to take on that matchup. It's going to be a lot of stress on him. And I think Jokic is just too great to have one guy defend him the same way for an entire series, especially when that guy is probably a little undersized against him. I think Denver pulls it off. The nerds are throwing their calculators in the air in celebration. And the Jokic Bros are going to break South Beach, and I can't wait.
I don't want to be anywhere near South Beach when the Jokic Bros are there celebrating. Jay, who wins? How many games? Finals MVP? What's the matchup?
I'm going to do it again. No matter how many times the Heat teach me to take them and never doubt them, I cannot trust them to win this matchup. It's going to be Denver in six. Jokic is going to just pick them apart. Murray, they're not going to be able to slow him down too much. I just don't see how he can do it. I don't. They're going to make me look so stupid. Mm-hmm. I know it. I know Caleb Martin will probably average like 25 points a game on 70% shooting, and Jimmy will have 48 in one game and foul out Jokic in 25 minutes. And Spoelstra will be up there wearing his finals championship t-shirt, talking about the lessons he's going to teach his kids about perseverance from this season. But me, no matter how many times they teach me to buy in, I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah. All right, my turn. There are times where you have to look at yourself in the mirror and wonder, do you have conviction or not, right? And I like to think of myself as someone who has conviction. And then I look at every matchup in the series, and I'm just like, they got no answer for Jokic. I oddly enough do think, this is going to sound stupid, and maybe you can clip this, and it's going to end up looking even dumber. I actually think you can kind of take advantage of Aaron Gordon with Kevin Love on both ends of the floor, of just like, he's just in the way. I would make him shoot corner threes all fucking day. Like, oh, you want to beat us with threes? Okay, yeah. We'll stay in that corner. Kevin Love's going to be right here taking a charge, right? Like, he's going to be right here. He'll help them on the boards, assuming Denver misses. He throws outlet passes. He spreads Denver the floor, which means Aaron Gordon can't
Denver
help Minion's down.
Denver going to be so mad.
Oh, fuck it. Who cares? They're always mad at me anyway. Like I said, already turned on Twitter. Like, look, it's going to be
Kevin Love is going to get a DNP again.
He also may not fucking play. I don't know. I just, in my head, it like makes sense where I'm like, I can see like that being something that Spoelstra pulls, and we're like, Spoelstra's done it again. How did that happen? There is no stopping Jokic in this series. There's no stopping Jokic in any series in this playoffs, but especially this one. They don't have the size. Jamal Murray is playing, I think, better basketball than even the bubble. I know the numbers are not saying that, but in the sense of like his decision-making on both ends of the floor, phenomenal. And he doesn't have the whatever the adjusted numbers are that the bubble and no fans and all that stuff would help your numbers at. Like he's playing the best basketball I've ever seen him play. Like in front of crowds, I guess I should say. He's been unbelievable. Bruce Brown, once they got Bruce Brown and KCP, I started taking them seriously as a contender because that is like those are just guys that I want as role players on my team. And so, unfortunately, everything tells me that the Denver Nuggets are going to win this series.
However,
I believe in heat culture. I believe in Jimmy Butler. I don't believe in Bam Adebayo. I don't believe in half these role players anymore. It's Jimmy and it's Caleb Martin and it's Gabe Vincent and Kevin Love, I guess. I still don't know why I said that or why that's in my head. But Kevin Love, I guess, if he actually plays.
Tyler Hero?
If I was Jimmy, I would break Tyler Hero's hand again. I don't think that's a good idea in this series. You know what the reason was? I was actually going to pick Denver and like surprise everybody. Like, oh, he went against the Heat. And then Jay picked Denver. And whenever Jay doubts the Heat, they come through. So Denver, don't come for me. Go after that guy. That guy right there in the box. I don't know if that's showing up on the screen, but the guy I'm pointing to in my Zoom setup is Jay King. Go after that guy because he picked against the Heat. So I'm picking the Heat because that tends to work out. For me, except that time they got swept in the first round against the Bucks and Bryn Forbes outscored Jimmy Butler.
You talk about conviction. It doesn't sound like you have any conviction. It sounds like you are, are couching your pick. You are out here blaming it on me instead of saying it yourself.
You're
saying that one of the biggest reasons is that Kevin Love.
I know it sounds
Kevin
dumb,
Love
doesn't it? It sounds fucking stupid. It's just what a wild thing to say in 2023. Just doesn't make any sense.
You don't sound like a man with conviction. I'm not gonna lie.
I painted a picture of misdirection, Jay. I'm always picking the Heat. Are you kidding me? It's Heat culture all day, every day. Jimmy Butler's gonna yell, "I fucking own you," and he's gonna give timeout signals, and he's gonna, guarantee. You know what? At 2-5 this season, he told Sam Amick, "We're winning the fucking championship." I believe him. I believe in Jimmy Butler. That's going to do it for us. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can see Jay and Will's reaction when I said Kevin Love could take advantage of Gordon. Subscribe after the bounce, but what I resent for that after game one, when Kevin Love does not play or he gets torched by Aaron Gordon on both ends of the floor, make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. The best coverage of the NBA Finals for you at theathletic.com. For Will, for Jay, for Schlecht, I'm Zach. Good luck, Kevin Love.
Kevin Love Hive, stand up. We're here.
Both of you.
That was probably the wildest prediction we've ever had, but it might come true.
Oh, man. It just sounded like a dumb thing to say.